It's playoff time in the NBA and NHL. Baseball's in full swing, and FanDuel is your place to bet on every game. Right now, brand new customers get $150 in bonus bets guaranteed. $150, win or lose. Bet on everything from slap shots to home runs to slam dunks, and all on an app that's safe, secure, and easy to use. I don't know what you're waiting for. Go to FanDuel.com/Hardy. Make your first bet an automatic win with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook.
21 plus and present in Massachusetts. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Hope is here. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
Looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz.
Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, Seamable, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Integrity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuay, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun.
Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
He's going with the fastball 0-0 for a strike. He's going slider 0-0 for a strike. Mix in the 0-0 changeup. He's got all three of them working.
And a ground ball more than he'll get to. He'll do it himself. And another fast inning for Chris Sale. Now, nobody warming up in that bullpen right now. Doesn't mean he's not coming out, but three innings in the books. And the Red Sox nothing and the Mets nothing.
Well, that was it for Chris Sale over at Fenway Park yesterday, at least on the big diamond. He went into the bullpen, threw another inning out there. But 41 pitches all in all for Chris Sale. How do you feel about that, Murray? 41 pitches. I don't know if you saw any of it or not. A lot of people watching football, myself included. I went back and watched it online. But, you know, given all the concern about Sale and all the questions about Sale, 41 pitches. 41 is really the number that sticks out to me. 41 pitches. Today's September 17th. In 2 weeks, the month ends, and 2 weeks from Friday, he opens the playoffs. 41 pitches. Does that feel like enough to you, Murray?
Well, he's still got one more, so I'm not freaked out about it yet, but no, feels a little bit low, but the control was better. I went back, because I was all football all day yesterday. These games are, I'm just waiting for the playoffs at this point, but this Sale thing is still an important story to this team, obviously, and, he's going to be a huge part of any success that they have this postseason. So getting him right is, you know, that's important. So to look at this morning, I don't know. I felt better about it than that prior outing where he's kind of all over the place in terms of control.
Okay,
so I'd like to see in about 80 pitches, sure, but 41, fine. They're managing him.
Okay, so I'll tell you what. We'll get to the actual quality of the performance here in just a second. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, 41 pitches feel like a lot to you or little?
It felt fine because then they took him to the bullpen and they finished out the routine of what they wanted to do. They're treating Chris Sale right now like it is his spring training, and they're ramping up to what he did in Tampa's first start, which was 93 pitches. In spring training, Alex Cora would take a pitcher from the game and throw him on the backfield to finish out an outing based on stressful innings. Now, I didn't notice any stressful innings against the Mets, but the previous game he had stressful innings, and they want to prevent those. They want good throws, good pitching, control of the variables that could occur at any time. Okay. So I'm fine with it.
Okay, so and I'm glad you looked that up, Jimmy, because you know what? That's a good stat. 93 pitches in the season opener, that's what Sale threw?
Yep.
Okay, before I get to that, Sale talked about sort of the process here of coming back from this injury. And by the way, Jimmy, let's open up the phones if we would. 617-779-0985. The Red Sox are off tonight. Obviously, the magic number is 2. And if you want to talk baseball, now's your chance to do it. Because we're going to encounter this a lot here over the balance of the season. That with the Patriots playing now and in season, Mondays are going to be kind of wall-to-wall football. So if you want to talk baseball, now's your chance. 617-779-0985. The magic number for the Red Sox is 2. And Chris Sale threw 41 pitches yesterday at Fenway Park. 3 scoreless innings. And everybody's celebrating. Okay? But before we get to why I'm concerned, Sale said this about the whole process of coming back from this shoulder ailment that has derailed him here late in the year.
Yeah, I think that, you know, at this point, the first one obviously didn't really go as planned. This one was a little bit more smooth. You know, we're doing kind of, this one was three innings with an inning in the bullpen. I think, you know, we ramp up the next time, and by the next time, or by my third one, or by the first postseason start, we'll be at 100 pitches, which is where you want to be.
Okay, which is where you want to be. You want to be at 100 pitches going out there for the postseason. Is that where we want to be? Or do we want to be higher than that? I mean, I know that I get accused of being negative all the time, but I'm starting to get a little worried about this whole thing with the way the Red Sox have managed Sale. 100 pitches? Jimmy just said it's like spring training all over again, and he's right. He's right. It's entirely like spring training all over again. Then Sale went out and threw 93 pitches in the season opener against the Tampa Bay Rays before the Red Sox ended up going to the bullpen. And well, you know how that one went in the season opener. Talk about a harbinger of things to come. Do we have to go all the way back and revisit that game? Do I need to refresh your memory what that was like with the bullpen in the ninth inning against Tampa Bay or in the eighth and ninth against Tampa Bay in the opener? 93 pitches. If Chris Sale can only throw 93 or 100 pitches in the opener, he's not exactly where he needs to be. Like this idea that that's where they need to be, 100 pitches? Ideally, I would want him somewhere around 115. What if Sale is cruising along and he's thrown 105 through 7? Do they have to pull him? Do they have to go to the bullpen? Like, I hear this idea that somehow he's on pace, and I still feel like he's behind. So the idea that all of a sudden, what, 100 pitches is enough? It's the playoffs. If you have to throw 115 or 120, you throw them. You don't want to have to pull Chris Sale off the mound because you get to 97 pitches and the limit's 100. Since when does your ace have a pitch limit in the postseason? He doesn't. I heard this, and this one is starting to drive me bananas. The idea that all of a sudden, all you got to do is get Sale to 100. I have news for you. Right now, he's really not on pace for 100. Not in a game, anyway. 26 the first time, 41 this time. What are they going to do? Bump him up to 65? And then 80, 85? And that's going to be enough? You want him having pitched at 100 a couple of times so that there's no, you know, you're not going into uncharted waters again. This was the whole point. I think they're moving too slow. I think the Red Sox are moving too slowly. And I'll tell you the other thing that drove me crazy with yesterday. And God bless Nick Cafardo of the Globe. I love him, and I know he doesn't write the headlines. But the headline on Cafardo's column today in the Globe, Chris Sale starting to look like his vintage self. And I admit that that is gray. Starting to. I watched the three innings. He's still not there. Okay, he's still not there. Chris Sale spent that first inning yesterday throwing two-seam fastballs. I think he threw a couple of changeups, and there really weren't that many fastballs that he aired out at 96-97, which overall I'm okay with. Because in the last start, Sale did try to air it out, and he was all over the place. Jimmy, there's a cut in the system of Sale saying he has to stay under control. If we could grab that and let me know when you have it, please. I should have mentioned this ahead of time. But to me, there was a deliberate attempt on Sale's part yesterday to try to get his mechanics down because his mechanics were so far off. So again, he was asked about it after the game. Here's what he said.
Staying under control. My last time out, I was throwing harder, but it was all over the place. For me, staying in control and staying within myself is the most important thing right now in this process. So,
okay, so again, this is what I wanted to see in the last start. I wanted to see Sale under control and be able to harness his stuff. He didn't do that. Now he came out in the second one, and he's at 41 pitches, and he harnessed the stuff a little bit better. But now he needs to be able to harness it and throw it at full velocity. There are still hurdles to clear here. So this idea all of a sudden that like Sale is right on track, I still feel like he's a little behind. I do. And if you think they can just go into the postseason with him having thrown, you know, or capable of throwing rather 90, 95, 100 pitches, that's not enough. What if he gets a jam in the middle innings and he can only go 5? 100 pitches is enough with that bullpen? They got to push him a little here. They've got to push him a little here. Sale will go again in 5 days, so that'll be on Friday, I believe. Then he'll go the following Wednesday if they stay on schedule, Wednesday or Thursday. And that'll be it for the real games. Sale will throw a simulated game before the World Series start, before the postseason start. But I'm telling you, they've still got work to do. Okay, Sale is not there yet in terms of stamina. Not even close. Let's go to your calls. Jay's in Boston. Jay, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on? Appreciate you my call. Which is such a, you know, a lot of good points you're bringing up about Sale, but what is your concern, if any, regarding Cora come the postseason? Specifically, again, you know, Houston with what he did with that team last year. However, this is his first time as the manager. Are there any concerns with his skill, his calls come the postseason? You know, will he pull a pitcher out too early?
Yeah,
anything regarding that?
So, Jay, let me ask you quickly. Do you have concerns about his ability to make the right call in the postseason?
You know, there hasn't been any, call it, resume, so to speak, with him being the head manager. That said, no, I don't have any issues. Just more want to see what your concerns are, if there are any, you know, with the long haul here.
Okay, so my point of view is that you should have concerns. It's only natural, and it's no indictment on Cora. He's had a great year. He's done a good job. They've been ahead by a mile the whole time. How many games has Cora really had to make huge managerial decisions in a big spot to win the game for them? Now, look, everything he's touched this year has basically turned to gold, with the exception of that bullpen. Every time he sends Brock Holt up there, it feels like the guy hits a pinch hit home run. Okay, so Cora, I think, has some feel for games, which is good. But that bullpen is a disaster. And all of this ties into Chris Sale. So I'll tell you what, let's get a little bit more in depth on that Cora question. I also want to touch on this Yankee series and something you will not see in this series relative to Yankee series of the past. We may get to that later in the show, but I'll explain and we'll take your calls next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, the Sports Hub. We have the Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Chris was good. Velocity, slider okay. You know, he got his repetitions and did a good job. Finish off in the bullpen. Everything is fine, so he's in line to make his next start on Friday in Cleveland.
Again, Alex Cora on Chris Sale. I don't know, Sale just feels a little behind schedule to me. Now, again, you never know what a guy's doing behind the scenes, and I know we worked an extra inning in the bullpen, but 41 pitches on September 17th in a big league game, and if the goal is to get him to 100, I don't feel like that's enough. Because, again, the pitches in the postseason are going to be greater stress, require more effort. So if this is about building up Sale's arm strength and stamina, I don't feel like they're pushing him enough. And he says he's fine. He's 100%. He clearly bounced back okay the last time because they sent him right back out there. So there was no delay in sending him to the mound on this turn. And I know they're being cautious. I understand that all of that's important. But I also want Sale on the mound as much as possible in October. And maybe I just didn't take this injury seriously enough at the beginning. That could be it. That could be my fault. But I don't want Chris Sale to have a 90 pitch count or a 95 pitch count, because whenever they tell you it's 100, it's always a little less. And so they're gonna, especially with that bullpen, they're going to get into the postseason and Sale's only going to be able to give them 6 innings. Like, 6 isn't enough. They need 7 or 8 out of this guy. So I just worry that he's not there yet. And in terms of what kind of strain this is all going to put on Alex Cora, so he's already got to deal with the Russian roulette that is his bullpen, for crying out loud, the wheel of gutless bums that Murray spins, and who knows who the right matchup or right reliever is going to be at any given time. And now they're going to have to use more of them because Sale might not be able to go as deep into games. So I guess what I'm saying is this. I knew that they were, you know, building Sale back up. I just never anticipated that he wouldn't be, or that he would be at something less than 100% come postseason time. And now I'm starting to think that that's where we're headed, which scares me because I don't think this Red Sox pitching staff is good enough in the middle to withstand that. Okay, 617-779-0985. We'll get to more on Alex Cora in that bullpen in just a minute. In the interim, here's Jim. Here's Jim, who's in his car. Jim, go ahead.
Maz, I'm watching the game yesterday. The Grum's pitching. He's got a 1.7 or so ERA. Sox score 3-0. It's a great accomplishment. They bring in Pomeranz. What would Cora be thinking? He's trying to evaluate the bullpen. Pomeranz is going to be playing golf in a couple of weeks. He's never going to be in the postseason. He gives up a couple of runs. It's deflating to the team. And what is he doing out there when you need to evaluate other guys in that bullpen? It's critical. You've got a couple of weeks here or less. So I just wanted your thoughts on that.
Okay, so Jim, look, again, I think a lot of people are still looking at these games and saying, you know, what's Pomeranz doing in the game? And maybe they're still, they are looking for a lefty for late in the game. Clearly they are, whether it's Pointer, Pomeranz, whoever else, they want a lefty in that bullpen. I'm more convinced of it than ever. They're just trying to get someone hot, I think. That's what it feels like to me. Like, I look at that bullpen and I say, initially I thought that they were going to carry 11 pitchers, not, which means 7 relievers, and now I'm not so sure. Now I think that they may carry an extra reliever at the expense of a positional player, probably someone like Blake Swihart. But suddenly with the Red Sox, there are all these little moving pieces. Eduardo Nunez hurt his knee at the end of last week, or aggravated a knee injury. Now Mookie Betts has a thing in his side, and the Red Sox are telling us that it's minor. And I'm sure that in all probability, many of these things are. But all these little variables are going to ultimately decide who they carry on the roster when it comes time to submit that for the postseason. But given the absence of reliable relievers, like when you really look at it, you could make the argument to leave off any one of a number of people. Joe Kelly, you could leave him off if you want. Steven Wright, you don't trust a knuckleball, leave him off. Heath Hembree, he'll be on it, but really, you could leave Hembree off if you want. You could leave Pointer off if you wanted. And I'm willing to bet that because of that, because they have so few reliable guys, they have to carry more pitchers, not fewer, not less, more. Because Cora is just going to have to try to go with the hot hand. And that really does, it puts an unbelievable amount of pressure on the manager. Because the manager is going to have to constantly be evaluating deliveries, matchups, state of mind with his pitchers, all of that stuff. I bet you, I'm starting to believe more than ever they carry an extra pitcher. And you know why? Because the ones they have aren't good enough. So again, there's a ripple effect from that, that they might have one fewer guy on their bench. And does that hurt them in some capacity? All because they wouldn't trade for a reliever at the deadline, for whatever reason. And a million good ones changed hands. Don't believe Dave Dombrowski when he starts spewing that nonsense about how a lot of big-name guys who went to teams were really having no impact. Because some of them have had an impact. Alan's in California. Go ahead, Alan.
Hi, Maz. I just want to say that I don't want to cast off Steven Wright quite so quickly. If there's just a way that they can work him in and if he can be effective, it could be a make or break. And that's it. That's all I got.
Alan, how would you use him?
Seventh and eighth. Maybe, you know, and maybe every other day, because they are going to be playing in the playoffs every other day. And the other thing is maybe we can get some rest for some of these guys that haven't been effective by bringing in more people from Pawtucket.
Okay, are you comfortable using him in the using a knuckleballer in the seventh and the eighth inning of a playoff game?
Crazy and zany as it is, it just could be, it could become a factor if he's effective.
Okay, so look, again, and there's just an if there. That's all. There's an if. And when you get into late innings of playoff games, I don't like if. Knuckleballers scare the hell out of me, just like they scare the hell out of everybody. See, this isn't an indictment on Steven Wright. Tell you what, take his name out of it. Just say knuckleballer. They have a knuckleballer. Do you want the knuckleballer pitching the eighth? It doesn't matter if it's Steven Wright. It could be Tim Wakefield. Could have been Phil Negro. any one of a million knuckleballers. Because largely, we perceive them as all being the same. If a knuckleballer is good enough to be on a big league roster, then he's good enough to stick around. You get my point. If a guy's a bum and he's a bum pitcher, well, then he's not good enough to be on the team anyway. It's the knuckleball. Would you put the knuckleball in the seventh or eighth inning of a postseason game in New York, in Houston, in Cleveland? Would you do that? I mean, I wouldn't. Now, again, could they carry Wright as a 12th pitcher? Sure. Absolutely. Could they carry Wright and Pointer and leave Kelly off? Yes, I guess. I mean, again, once it gets to Kelly or Stephen Wright, what's the difference? You don't have confidence in either one. And you know what? I shouldn't say that about Wright, because I have confidence in Wright. I don't have confidence in the knuckleball, if that makes sense. Jim Murray is Jim Murray's Get Your Headlines here. When we come back, I want to explain to you what will not happen in New York this week. I know that sounds weird, but I'll give you an explanation on that when we come back.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Maz, 98.5, The Sports Hub. This is the Baseball Reporter's.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Maserati, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
The 0-1 to Teixeira. High fly ball into right center field. Well hit. Bradley racing back. Back he goes. It is gone. Mark Teixeira hits it out of the ballpark for a walk-off.
Oh, this is bizarre.
What a crazy, crazy ending to this one. So the Yankees celebrate, and so do the Red Sox tonight.
I don't think I've ever been involved in anything like that.
Nor have I.
So you remember that from a couple of years ago, Red Sox fans? Give me the particulars in just 1 minute. Just a reminder that earlier, the action update, 6:15, was brought to you by MyBookie.net. Play online and win big. Join now and sign up at MyBookie.net today. So the last time the Red Sox were in New York with a chance to clinch, you'd have to go back to 2016. The point being that the Red Sox, the Yankees weren't in second place at that time, right? So obviously, someone else was. I don't remember which team was in second. I guess it was probably the Blue Jays. And the Red Sox had already clinched the division via a loss to the second place by the second place team. I should have looked up who that was. I didn't, because I'm an idiot. So while they were on the field with the game against the Yankees, Craig Kimbrell was brought in to close a game. Ends up giving up a home run to Mark Teixeira. So the Yankees win, preventing the Red Sox from celebrating on the field at Yankee Stadium. The Red Sox then went into the clubhouse in New York. John Farrell addressed the team and said, "Don't let this loss take away from what you accomplished during the regular season." And the Red Sox then celebrated in the clubhouse after a walk-off loss to the Yankees. Now, at the end of the day, you'd say, wow, that's just nothing more than a weird circumstance. Except, you know what happened? The Red Sox didn't get into the postseason and get their ass swept by the Cleveland Indians and get knocked out of the playoffs. Looking back, that team wasn't ready for the postseason. That team wasn't ready for big moments. I think you could argue they still weren't ready for it last year. So the question is, are they now ready for those big moments? And the good news this week in New York? There is no way the same thing can happen in this series. Because the Yankees are the second place team. The magic number is 2. And the only way the Red Sox are going to get there is to win a game in New York. They have to win one of the 3. And once they do, the division is over. Okay, if you even still care about it, it's really not that big a deal. The division has been a foregone conclusion now for some time. I told you when the Yankees came here in August and the Red Sox swept that 4-game series, the division was over. That was it. The Yankees weren't going to make up 9.5 games on the Red Sox in that period of time. And you know what has happened since? They've lost ground. Okay, they've lost ground. So one way or another, presumably here in the next 3 days, the Red Sox are going to wrap up the American League East, and even if they get swept, they'll wrap it up over the weekend. Okay, so don't worry about that, but there's no chance of what happened in 2016 happening again. The Red Sox have to beat the Yankees to win the division. It's really that simple in the next 3 days. We'll get back to your calls. We do have a couple of open lines. 617-779-0985 is your number. Dave wants to go to the most obvious place, which is the Red Sox bullpen. Dave, what do you got?
Hey, what's going on, Tony? How you been?
Good.
Good, good, good. Well, here's the thing that I noticed, though, throughout the regular season, and this is my concern, is that, granted, Dave Dombrowski screwed up, didn't make a move to enhance the bullpen. I agree with that. But at the same time, I think the one mistake Cora's made throughout the season is he hasn't given anybody a set role before the ninth inning. He hasn't given anybody in that bullpen, listen, this is your job.
So, Dave, before you go on, don't you think he's tried?
He has tried some, but like Brandon Workman has experience in the playoffs. Am I right?
Yes.
Yeah. So my thinking is why wasn't he brought up earlier in the season? Why was he down? Why was he down in Pawtucket? You know what I'm saying? Why keep him down there when he could have been, you know, solidifying the eighth inning?
Okay, so Dave. Yeah, so Dave, look, I'm going to let you go. The reception is spotty. But the short answer on Brandon Workman is this. He had options. He had minor league options. And I don't want to go into the whole process of explaining to you what minor league options are. But there were some guys that can be sent to and from the minor leagues without being exposed to waivers. Okay? It's really that simple. And Workman was one of them. So they started him at the beginning of the year in the minors, and then since have moved him back and forth a lot. He has really been their shuttle guy to and from the minor leagues. And overall, I like Workman too. I think he's a serviceable reliever. He's not an eighth inning guy. Okay, he's not. So an eighth inning guy has to be able to close games. It's really pretty much the same job description. Lots of strikes, power pitching, don't allow balls to be put in play. You got to be able to get out lefties and righties and air it out for you know, 15, 20 pitches. That's basically what it is. So now Workman, I think Workman's a decent reliever, sixth or seventh inning guy. Just like I think Matt Barnes is a decent reliever and Heath Hembree's a decent reliever and Joe Kelly, for all of his struggles, decent. But none of these guys are locked down, shut down, eighth inning guys that blow people away and throw a lot of strikes. And that's what you need. You got to have two of those guys, I think, at a minimum at the end of the game. If you can get three, you're really in business. But if you can get two, your closer and an eighth inning guy, then you can mix and match a little bit in the sixth and seventh. And so right now, Cora only has one really reliable guy in that bullpen, at least in his own head. The only real clarity that Alex Cora has in the bullpen is to look at the ninth inning and say, Kimbrel's getting the ball. That's it. Kimbrel's getting the ball in the ninth. And if I have to go to him for four outs, maybe even five, I think I can do that too. But everything else in between, Cora doesn't have an answer. Cora's going to have to play it by ear, look at the matchups, see who the hot hand is. Now, I think that they will defer to Barnes. Like, if you were to say, what is plan A? I think Barnes is plan A. I think that part of the reason they've really gone out of their way to make sure Barnes is right is because they think he's their best bet. But after that, it's a crapshoot. Complete coin flip. So again, what this does to Cora is put him under an unusual amount of pressure. And how that's all going to work out in October? Look, your guess is as good as mine. I fear that what you have now with Cora is akin to what you had with Grady Little in 2003. And when I say that, I don't mean that Cora's going to make the same mistake, but that what he's had to deal with during the year, the same uncertainty, will affect his decision-making in October. And that scares the hell out of me, and it should scare the hell out of you, too.
Baseball Reporters with Tony Mazz. 98.